G'day and thank you for visiting the Pioneer Australia website to listen to the sessions from this year's conference 2018. This session is session one with Billy Kennedy. I hope you enjoy.
3 years in, I think he's in it. So we're in, if you're in, we'll keep coming back as long as we're made to feel welcome. You know, we got, since we began, there's a church in New Zealand is connected in from Christchurch, and Andy and Naomi, do you want to stand up quickly? They've just moved from the UK and are going to be going over to Christchurch to work with Jen and Joel over there in the church that they're running called City Life Christchurch, from City Life Southampton to City Life Christchurch, and so stuff's happening. And my experience of working with networks, just to encourage you all, is it's slow. It's slow work. And so don't get discouraged if, you know, we grow incrementally. That's fine. It's important that we go deep before we go wide. And, you know, my process is we build relationally. And so this becomes family, not just a movement. That we begin, as we build on that foundation of relationship, we begin to recognize each other and the gifts and the grace that one another carry, and we serve and resource each other. And that's a process of time, of trust, building trust, and then we multiply. Some of us want to rush to the multiplication quickly, but that will come in time. But we just want to build slowly and steadily and consistently. And recognize we're here for the long haul. We're not going to, you know, we're more of the tortoise than the rabbit or the hare. We want to build consistently and steadily and slowly for the long term. I shared yesterday that we've just opened a school back home in the UK, a public school, and we signed a contract with the government for 125 years. Now, that's long-term planning, huh? I think often in the Christian world, what we're doing next summer is probably the longest that we can think. You know, so 120. So that you know, we're here for the long haul, and so I sense that the Lord is in it, and I don't always understand His ways, but you know that God's created a connection here in Australia. God's opening things up in New Zealand, and India, and Nepal, and Sri Lanka, and France, and the US of A. And so we are just trying to work out, so as Pioneer, how do we do that? How do we become more of an international thing? So you need to help us on this journey to work out what on earth the Lord is doing in these connections and these relationships. And, you know, you are part of a wider global family. And so that's why it's great for me to be able to bring some friends from the UK to see what's happening over here. And it's great when you guys come across to the UK to our conference and come and experience our wonderful winter weather. This year, we had the heaviest snowfall in decades over the conference week. And so I think Luke loved it. Rick and Sue's son, you know, just come and be part of the snow fest. It was a great time, and then we're having a heat wave at the moment. So global warming, woo, 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 woo. Anyway, so it's great to feel at home. It's a bizarre thing. We're however many thousand miles away, but it feels like home. Feels like family, and that's what people, when they come into this environment, are starting to say. So we've taken the theme off the table, and partly because. Particularly last year when I traveled around with Caroline to the different churches in the network, how many of you are based around a table? Be that from what Dennis and Tammy are doing up in Bonnie Hills, gathering on a weekly basis, Joel and Jed in Christchurch gathering weekly around a table, the Father's table, you know, the Life Church tables, daily feeding people. Then a Hope Church in Devonport, you know, cooking for like 50 people on a four-ringed hob oven. I mean, incredible. To the superb coffee shop that Andrew and Lydia and the Recharge Church are involved in down there, and Bernie sitting around Caro and Luke's table every time I go. It's like there's something up in this family about the table. And so that's why we've all said, let's use that as our theme for this conference. There's actually lots of stuff written on the table from a biblical, scriptural point of view. Some really good stuff. So you can go and read even more and get even more inspired by Googling it and reading it. And we'll give you a little bit of flavor. Okay, so I want to talk about the table. There's four things I want to say quickly in the next 25 minutes or so. Okay, number one. The table is a place of covenant. So if you read through the Old Testament, time and time and time again, they made a covenant, then they ate together. Genesis 26, Isaac. Genesis 31, Jacob. Exodus 18, Jethro. You see, time and time again, it was a place covenant. To come and to eat together around the table was a place of covenant. And of course, in the New Testament, Jesus at the Last Supper, it was the meal of the covenant that he was saying, do this meal in remembrance of me, for when you do it, I'm here with you in the midst. It was a place of new covenant taking place. So the table, first and foremost, is a place of covenant. And we are all invited to the table, to this place of covenant. Having been involved in the last few years, in particular with more of the mainstream churches, there's some really good stuff which they do. There's some good liturgy which they have developed over centuries. At the same time, they can get a bit stuck. You know, so for example, I go along to Winchester Cathedral Evensong occasionally, which is a special hour-long service on a Sunday afternoon. And it's, if you love 16th century choral music, it's beautiful. But it's not the most popular genre of music right now. It's a little bit boring. However, in 1622, Archbishop Cranmer introduced evensong as a way to reach ordinary people who would understand, because that was the music of the day. Up to that point, it was all in Latin. So he innovated, and then we didn't innovate anymore. We got stuck in the 1600s. So we have to draw from the past, but keep innovating. There's a beautiful poem which they use in the Anglican Church around the table, which I love, which is this. We do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your great love and countless acts of mercy. We are not even worthy to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the Lord who always delights in showing mercy. Feed us then, gracious Lord, with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, in this holy mystery, that we may live as new creatures and grow into his likeness and forever live in him and he in us. Amen. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And so we are invited to the table, not because of our own righteousness, but because of what Christ has done for us. We enter into the new covenant, we come to the table. So our communion, first and foremost, at the table is with Christ. That's why we're invited. And therefore our unity, the unity of the body, is based on the fact that we are all therefore united with Christ. So when I look around the table, there are people that I don't agree with. There are people who don't look like me. But we are gathered around the same table. So one of Pioneer's distinctives or focus is we want to be catalysts for unity. and therefore recognize that around this table are people that don't look like us, that don't sound like us, that don't agree with us, but because Christ has called them to the table, we are called to love them. Because they are at the table as well. You know, I was brought up in Northern Ireland as a Protestant. In my thinking growing up, Catholics were not Christian. Anyone else have that experience? And then I met a nun when I was about 19 who loved Jesus more than I could ever imagine. And my whole worldview was blown apart because Christ had called her to the table. And she was closer to the head of the table than I was. And so we are called into fellowship and covenant with the whole body of Christ, first and foremost. Now, there are going to be people that we find it easier to work with, and that's fine. But we're called to have respect, honor for everyone, to speak well of everyone, to pray for everyone. We'll then find it easier to build relationship with some, to work together in different areas and different spheres, to meet together, to pray together, to eat together, to recognize the grace and the sphere of ministry and influence that different people carry. We're all different. We're all unique. We can't compare ourselves with someone else. There's a great scripture that I shared with Colin and Eleanor and Linda the other night, which they rolled about the floor laughing at, but it's this: walk about Zion and go round about her. Count all of her towers and consider well her bulwarks. Pass through her citadels. It's like, look at the body of Christ. It's amazing that this church does that. It's amazing that this church is this, and we are this. Recognizing the grace, the towers, the drawbridges that exist. And then we find ourselves with people that we really can work closely with, like we're finding here. It's more like family. It's more like our tribe. So a different level, but we are called into covenant. Secondly is this. The table is about community. So Jesus ate a lot with people. You know, time and time and time again, we see him in the house of Zacchaeus, in the house of Matthew, in the house of Simon, Luke chapter 15, with tax collectors and sinners. We see him there in community around a table with other people who, for many of those at that time, were not people who fitted in. I think Pioneer Australia is a bit like that. When I look at who sits around your tables, it's often people that wouldn't fit in other places. That's beautiful. That's what the table's about. We are called to be community. There's that parable that Jesus told about the great banquet feast in Luke chapter 14. And none of those who were invited came. So what did he say? Go out into the highways and the byways and bring them all in. When I look around this network, that's what seems to be happening. You're bringing them in, the highways and the byways people. And, you know, I read this great quote. The way that we feast with one another, the way we feast with God, tells the world what we believe about God. Who we invite to our table communicates what we believe about God. If it's just those who are neat and tidy, it tells us something about what we believe. But if it's the highways and the byways people, that communicates something about who we are seeking to be community with. So who's in? Who's out? I know you've just had the whole marriage vote in Australia in the last year, and, you know, it polarizes people, doesn't it? And we can easily get caught up in that polarization. We had that vote 5 years ago, 6 years ago in the UK, and it did the same. It polarized people. And then some of the words that are very positive words that we've given, we use those words to describe people who've taken an opposite view to some of us, for example. Affirming, inclusive, open. But our communities must become the most affirming, accepting, inclusive, open, welcoming communities on the planet. That's what our table should be, open to everyone. Where we are committed to journey with people, whatever their background, whatever their current state, whatever their history, whatever their orientation, to be alongside those people. And I know you're doing that immensely. That's the sort of church that we want to build. That's the sort of communities that we want to see grow and develop. And that's, what I believe, part of our contribution to the broader church is to be that focus. That's which is why I'm not concerned about going big. You know, we go deep. We plant good foundations. We allow good roots to grow. And in time, things will grow and develop. You know, some people, when you go to some conferences, it's like, hi, how are you? Who are you? What church are you in? How big is the church? It's like, oh, you know, I've started to say now, how big is the church? 15,000 members. That's what I say. We have 15,000 members, and our congregation is about 250,000. So in where I live, in our city, people who turn up on a Sunday and go to church, 15,000. That's the size of the church that I'm part of. And our city's population is about 250,000. That's our congregation. That's who we're serving. So when I look around this room, Matty's got 100,000 students he's seeing every year. That you know, we're starting at 100,000 then. You then, all of you, add the people that you're feeding, caring for, looking after, interacting with. We could be 500,000 people that we represent here. You know what I mean? What do you count? Who's in, who's out? Gather around the table. Third thing is this. The table is a place of conversation. These things all begin with the letter C. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? And the fourth one also begins with the letter C as well. Isn't that incredible? How God does that. There's a great movie called Babette's Feast. Anyone seen it? Caroline might have mentioned that when she was here last time. Babette's Feast. It's slow, okay? It's in Scandinavian. It's a long movie. And it's about this religious sect in Norway, I think it is, and they've all fallen out with each other. And Babette, and it's all like, it's family, and it gets complicated. So they're all like not talking to each other. So Babette turns up in this village, and she's won like a load of money, and she decides to cook a meal for this community. And she prepares the most exquisite feast, Babette's Feast. And as they start to eat this food and drink the wine, in vino veritas, when the wine flows, there's truth. And what happens is they begin to converse. They begin to confess. They begin to be reconciled. It's a beautiful movie. And who wrote What's So Amazing About Grace? Philip Yancey. He quotes it at the beginning of his book because it's like the grace of God. Come to the table. Come to the table. And in our conversation, truth is revealed. Life comes. Reconciliation comes. And so the table is a place of conversation. It's a place where we develop shared meaning. Now, our culture is built on an adversarial approach in our courts, in politics, in science. So what we do is we take positions on things and we try and cajole everyone else to take my position. That's how our culture works in the Western world. So what we'll do is we'll undermine the other position. We'll seek to persuade and argue and convince others that our position is right. We engage in discussion, which comes from the same root word as percussion. Clang, 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 clang. We bang off each other. Dialogue is shared meaning. And so together around a table, we need to begin to develop shared meaning. So we've just had a dialogue around same-sex marriage, for example. We didn't stand up with a position. We engaged in conversation to together to find some sense of what, as Paul describes, the mind of Christ. We talk together. We listen to one another. I want to know why you think that. I don't want to convince you that you're wrong. I want to understand what has brought you to that conclusion. Conversation, shared meaning. That's how we grapple together with this stuff. The Anabaptists, who, you know, were a great reforming movement in Europe post-Reformation, they talk about a thing called community hermeneutics, which is this, is that we understand Scripture together as we talk together. We seek the mind of Christ together. Now, that's hard because we're not used to it. It's not the way that we are used to being taught. Someone in my position stands up and tells them what to think. It's not the way of the future. And often we use things like, well, there's two things we do. As charismatic, we say, God has said. Oh, that's a very difficult starting point because we've nowhere to go. Well, the second thing we say is this, the Bible clearly says. Ugh. The Bible is not that clear on a lot of things. The Bible is very clear on some things. Sell your possessions and give them to the poor. That's really clear. Most of us don't do that. But it's like, it's there, it's like black and white. It's red. Because Jesus said it. He really said it. You know, sell your, and it wasn't just the rich young ruler. It was like later on. So the Bible does clearly say some things that we ignore, and the Bible does not clearly say other things that we take positions on. So that's why together we need to find the mind of Christ. The Bible says, love your enemies. That's really clear. But we don't do that often. We'll berate them and on Facebook challenge them and slag them off. It's a place of conversation. This is part of what I think our togetherness is about. Trying to discover the mind of Christ for some of the complexities of the world we live in today. And it will get more complex. I can guarantee that. It'll get more complex. Okay. So we've got to learn to talk together and listen and don't just reload. You know what I mean? When someone's talking, like, I'm not listening. I'm just like waiting for what I can now say. Pew, come back to you. Listen. There is a mystery in front of you, another person who I want to discover who they are. And then fourthly, the table is about covenant, community, conversation, and confidence. What do I mean by that? Psalm 23. You prepare a table for me in the midst of my enemies. So the table is a safe place to come to. And I think what you're all doing is you're building some safe places that people can come and feel in the midst of the battle, a safe place. In the midst of my enemies, there's a safe place to come. We, at our school that we run, we've for lunchtimes, what would normally happen in the UK is that all children up to the age of 11 must get a free school meal now. So what happens is they'll have a kitchen, and the kids will go up and go to the hatch and get their food and sit at long tables and eat together. We've scrapped that idea. We've got round tables, and we serve the children with a big plate of food on in the middle, and they serve each other. Because most of those kids never eat a meal with their family around a table. So we're creating a safe place where they can come and learn how to come to a table, how to serve each other, how to converse, how to talk. Safe place. You prepare a table in the midst of my enemies. And so for all of us doing our thing in our local church situation, we are preparing tables that give people safety. I think this is one of those. There's a sense of, as I shared in my first point around, you know, the different levels of partnership, there's a sense of we come here once a year, a couple times a year. It's a safe place for us. In the midst of the battle that's raging out there, we come here. And so let me encourage you over these 24 hours or so that we're together, take what you can from the table. There's some really good food that has been prepared. There's some really great people sat next to you. You know, it's a place for us to encourage each other, to support each other, to pray for each other, to listen to each other, because we're going back into our context where, you know, Jen from Christchurch said it yesterday, you know, you recorded all the words of encouragement last year and went back and just reminded yourself throughout the year what God had said. Yeah. It's a safe place. God has prepared a table in the midst of the battle. And so we come together. We all have got highlights for the year. We've all got our challenges in the year. You know, we're not here to compete or to compare. We're all unique individuals. We've come together around this table to give ourselves, to give confidence, to give encouragement, to bring life to one another, to support each other, to receive grace from each other. You know, we all carry different graces. And I want the grace that I carry to influence you, and vice versa. I want to be influenced by you. When I hear the stories, when I talk with you, when I see what God's doing in you, I want to learn from that and grow in who I am. And so that's the place of confidence. So welcome to the table. This tribal meal that we're doing once a year. Take what you can. Give what you can. Support each other. Give grace to one another. Receive grace from one another. Receive from the Lord himself. That's what it is. It's Christ in us that brings the hope. So come to the table. Place a covenant. Some strange people around our table, you know. But they've all been invited. Not here, Jed. Oh, yeah. It's a place of community. The most open, affirming, inclusive, welcoming communities on the planet. That should be the church. That's what Jesus was like. That's who he hung out with. It tells us what God's like by who comes around our table. Place of conversation that doesn't share meaning. It's going to be hard on days because we aren't used to it. We're used to being right all the time. That's why there are now 60,000 Protestant denominations, because 60,000 people thought they were right. What's great about the Catholic Church is this. There's one church, but lots of little things within the church. They've somehow managed to stay together, but we've just like split off. Let's find a way of developing shared meaning, particularly for us in this tribe, in this environment. And this is a place that we gain confidence. Supporting each other, sharing with each other, praying for each other, encouraging each other. It's a table that has been prepared by the Lord. Come, eat, be fulfilled, be satisfied, to go back into our contexts. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this session from the Pioneer Conference Australia. I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. God bless you.